Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday morning, May the 27th, 2018.
All right, good morning, Grace. Love hearing the chatter. It just means I have to speak up to move over it. This is good. We're happy, boisterous people today. Hey, glad to have all of you here today. If you are not aware, tomorrow is Memorial Day. And Carmen Wolf was just sharing with me about some things I didn't even know about, kind of traditions that I think Congress even had passed. But apparently at 3 o'clock on either on Memorial Day or the Sunday before, it's supposed to be kind of a time of just a national, for your time zone, time of just a moment of silence to remember those who have fallen. And later on today, of course, we're taking communion. And we try to often line that up with Memorial Day, because while Memorial Day is about remembering those who have given their lives in battle and in conflict to save our country, we remember even more so that our Lord gave his life for all of us. And without him, the rest of it just doesn't matter. And so we want to begin the service this morning. We'll just take a moment of silence ourselves that you can pray and thank the Lord. And I'll open us up then and close that time with prayer and open us up in just a moment. Let's just take a moment to remember those who have given their lives for us. Well, Father, we thank you that you've put people in this world who are selfless to the point of surrendering their lives to protect their country, to protect their fellow countrymen, and so many who have given their lives to protect those in other countries, those that they die for people they've never met. They die many times for people that don't appreciate them. Lord, we thank you then that reminds us, their sacrifice reminds us of our Savior's sacrifice to die for people who were yet sinners, who were enemies in rebellion against him, and yet he chose to die for us. And greater love has none than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. And so, Lord, we thank you for our Savior who has laid down his life for us, that we celebrate today. We thank you, too, for those over now, since we've started Memorial Day, 1.35 million men and women who have laid down their lives to protect us. They are true friends, and most of them we have never met. For those here, Lord, who have lost loved ones in battle, who have lost loved ones in general, Lord, that are remembering them particularly this weekend, we pray your comfort on them. And we pray that the sacrifice of the loved one would be a great source of pride to thank you for the opportunity to have known them and been loved by them and to have loved them. And God, may their memory be honored well today, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. We want to let you know some things that are going on. We here at Grace Baptist Church, we are a redeemed community, and we gather, grow, and go by the power of the Holy Spirit to glorify God. And so if you're here for the first time, or maybe you've got a change of information, or you just haven't let us know who you are before, I'd ask you to pull out the information card from your bulletin. Fill that out, drop it in the offering plate when it comes by later on. If you are just so mesmerized and engaged with everything that's going on here that you don't have time to fill that out, which is likely, I know, right? You can put that in the drop boxes, which are out these center doors on the info booths on both sides. We just want to know that you are here. We've got a gift for you. You find somebody that looks like they know what they're doing, and they'll probably be able to get that gift for you. And if you can't find somebody that looks like they know what they're doing, you can come find me and we'll get that to you. We just want to say thanks for coming. We're glad you were here. And of course, for anybody, if there are things that you need prayer for, mark it on that card, drop it in the offering plate or the info boxes. We as a staff gather every week to pray for those, and we want to be praying for you and just know what's going on with you so we can love on you and care for you well. So please do that, as well as any ways that you want to get plugged into ministry here. This is a great way to do it. And of course, for any of those things, you can contact us in the office anytime. We are glad you're here, and we want to continue in worship together. And I want to go ahead and invite Austin up to introduce himself briefly. But this, I think, is my first time. Yeah, I grab this mic right here. We'll make sure that one's on. I should have checked on that ahead of time, right? Yeah, you're good. But I wanted him to be able to come up here and introduce himself. But I realized, too, that this is the first time I've stood up here and said, hey, you know what we're going to do, church? After church, we're all going to get lunch together and just talk about some guy. Have fun.
Well, hello, my name is Austin Seeger. Just a little bit about me so you guys know I'm not 17 years old. So just a little bit about me, getting married in 13 days to my fiance Taylor. She was actually out here with me over this past week. Sadly, she couldn't be here with us this morning. So wanted to let you know there is another half coming to me if God does bring us out here to Grace Baptist. So we've been excited about what we've seen here, about our experience here, got an opportunity to speak with the youth during the Sunday school hour. And it's just been such a blessing to be here, to meet so many new faces, to be welcomed into your church. So thank you so much for that. Over this past year, I've been serving as the high school director out at my church in Orange County, California, which is just such a blessing to see God's work happening in just different parts of the country, seeing it happen over on the West Coast and then down here in Tennessee as well. About a year ago, I graduated from Cedarville University with my bachelor's in biblical studies, currently working towards a master's of divinity through Southern Seminary right now, and just looking forward to whatever it is that God has planned for me and Taylor as we enter into marriage together, as we enter into ministry together, as we seek to serve the Lord wherever it is that He leads us, guides us, and calls us to serve Him, to glorify Him, to worship Him as disciples of Jesus Christ. So thank you so much for inviting us here to join us in this little part of our life, and we're looking forward to the possibility of joining you guys as you are serving the Lord here in Chattanooga as well. So thank you.
Thank you, Austin. We're grateful that you've joined us this morning and look forward to getting to know Him better. I'm going to ask the praise team, if you would, to come ahead while I'm just speaking for just a minute. The group that you're going to see in front of you this morning, we were up here a month or so ago, a multi-generational group, and just trying to grow together and get some young people involved in our ministry and in singing and music and so forth. And this morning was a good chance for us to do that. With Memorial Day weekend and some of the other things with people being out of town. So that's why you don't see choir this morning or orchestra. But a little different look this morning as well. We are excited about leading you in worship this morning and also being able to sing a special during the offertory this morning. I hope that will be a blessing. So as we open this morning, would you stand with me and let's pray together, and then we'll worship together in song. So, Lord, as we stand before you today, we're thankful that you love us. You loved us first, and that gives us the opportunity to love you. Teach us how to do that more passionately. Help us to be about loving you and serving you in such a passionate way that others want to do the same. So, this morning, as we sing, we would sing passionately. And as we praise you, those praises that are lifted to you would be sweet in your ears today. So, as we lift those songs up, Lord, touch our hearts, grow us as a church body, help us to be more like you. For it's in your Son's mighty name we pray this morning. Amen. Come, Christians, join to sing.
Thank you.
ask our ushers to come at this time. I'm going to ask the ensemble to move on down into place. As our ushers come, we want to pray for our offering this morning and thank the Lord for the opportunity to give. Are you thankful for what God is doing for you? Not just financially, but what God's doing in your life. We have a lot to be thankful. Our Lord is gracious and kind, so we're thankful for that. So let's pray this morning. Father, as we come to you and just thank you for your many blessings to us, you pour those out to us over and over and over again. And so we thank you. And as we sang this morning, our strength is in you. And we're grateful for that this morning. So as we give, help us to give out of grateful hearts, thankful hearts. For it's in your mighty name we pray this morning. Amen. Again, I hope that's your praise this morning, total praise. We give that to the Lord, right? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is peace. I'm going to dismiss our kids at this time. Just a reminder, we're going to summer choirs. If you need help with that, there'll be some people out in the lobby, but the older kids go to the right this way, and you'll find your room up there and people waiting on you for that. Where the Spirit of the Lord is.
where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is peace. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is love. There is comfort in life's darkest hour. There is light and life. There is help.
All right, so I was just thinking this week as I was going through our passage here, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and kind of wrapping up that chapter. I was thinking back to, like, I don't remember, I was probably 5, 6, 7 years old, somewhere in there. My dad introduced me to, even then, what was an older movie, Spartacus. We have any Spartacus fans out there? Yeah, you're remembering some of the lines right now, right? And it's like at the end of the movie, you have this great, it's kind of great time of unity. The Romans have pretty much defeated this slave result and revolt, and it's kind of based on a true story, but they're getting ready to crucify all of the slaves that were a part of this revolt. And they said, listen, we're not gonna crucify any of you. You can save yourselves if Spartacus will just step forward. And so he's getting ready to do this, and he's dejected, but then the guy next to him stands up first. And what's he shout? I am Spartacus. There we go. I didn't hear any accents when you did it, though, right? We should try that. And so he shouts it out, and then people just keep popping up and shouting out, I am Spartacus. And it's this great moment of kind of union behind the guy who's been leading them, but also just kind of a unity amongst the slaves themselves and just who they are as a group. 2004, there was a remake of it, a mini-series on Spartacus. And so there's, in the middle of that one, and kind of in the middle of the series, there's this point, the slaves are out, and they're kind of in that wooded area. You see similar scenes in the original movie as well. And there's this slave, Crixus, and he's the biggest of all of them out there. He's just this big, muscly guy. And so he comes up and he says, listen, I am all about Crixus now. I am fighting for me. I'm not fighting for an owner. I'm not fighting for any other people. I'm all about myself. And so Spartacus, he's not liking this. The people are starting to kind of divide and be all about themselves. And he brings Crixus up and he says, listen, this is the biggest guy that we've got. And so he hands him an arrow. And he says, Crixus, can you break this arrow? And he says, yeah. And he just breaks it and throws the thing to the ground. And so Spartacus, he's looking at him about this, and he says, okay, now take this bundle of arrows. And this is very biblical, right? Because we see in Proverbs that you put a few cords together, they're harder to break. And so he takes them, and he can't bend them. And so then Spartacus says, he says, we are like the arrows. Separately, we're weak, but together, we're invincible. That's why the Romans were so hard to divide us tribe by tribe and country by country. And he shouts out to the whole crowd of former slaves out there, we're one then? And they all shout back, yes. And they keep chanting, yes, we are one. And they at that point kind of became a community. And they would work together. In our church today, spiritual warfare, not just in our local congregation, but like the Big C Universal Church, spiritual warfare is a reality. It has always been that way. Right now, a large group of our women from our church are going through the Armor of God study in their elective on Sunday mornings. A lot of others have been through that study before. And it's really just about preparing us for that spiritual warfare. A lot of men in our church are jealous, and they want to go through this study at some point too. And so, but they're learning how to fight this battle. And one of the things is, yes, the Lord gives us all kinds of armor that we find in Him, but He gives us each other too. And so we are in the midst of the spiritual warfare, and our enemy, just like Rome wanted to do with their slaves, the enemy wants us divided, because divided, we are a whole lot easier to defeat, right? We're not going to lose the war. We can go through life, our Christian life, divided. We're not going to lose the war because we're not the ones who are going to win the victory. Jesus is going to win the victory. But despite that, even though he's going to win the ultimate war, if we're divided, we're going to lose a whole lot of battles. We are going to be ineffective for the kingdom of God if we are a divided people. Does that sound good to anybody? I really hope not, right? Because that's not where we're supposed to be. All of those divisions that we have amongst ourselves, and again, not even just within a local church, although that too, but all of these divisions and the fights and the factions, those are battles that the enemy is winning because he's pulling us out of the fight altogether. We get focused on all of these other things and we take our focus off of what really matters, and so we're off the playing field. Is your pride worth it? Is your position worth it? Are your preferences worth sacrificing the mobility of the gospel going forward? Are your rights worth sacrificing all of that, worth losing the battle? And yes, I mean, as I ask these questions to you this today so much, it's a message I'm really just speaking to myself. This is like this conversation I get to have with the Holy Spirit, and I'm letting everybody else in on it because I think we all deal with a lot of the same things. So I ask myself those same ones. That's the first thing that Paul is addressing here in 1 Corinthians. Last week we saw him kind of set them up and just make sure that they are firm in Christ, because that is so necessary to move forward through everything else that we're dealing with in this letter to the Corinthian church. And the rest of the letter hinges on what we're going to see today. It hinges on this unity, because they're not going to be able to deal with the sin that Paul is about to bring up over the next 15 chapters. They're not going to be able to deal with that if they're divided. Think about that. The things that they're going to be told to do is to go to their brothers and sisters in Christ and say, there is this sin in you and it's got to be changed. That doesn't happen if you don't trust each other. It doesn't happen if you don't love each other. If I don't believe that you are godly, if I think you're in a different camp than me, I'm probably not listening to you when you bring something to me. That unity will keep sin alive in churches. That lack of unity will. And that's what's happening in the Corinthian church, but the same thing goes for modern churches today. That has been the same way throughout the history of the church. The enemy has the same tactics now. You'd think we would have figured it out, right? Mm-mm. Same tactics, they just get updated for today. Like, we have all these extra things that we can argue about now. Amen! All right. As the church has developed, we've got more things that we argue about, and that just things that, man, we just start to take ourselves way too seriously sometimes, right? Man, we think we're important. And it's really supposed to be all about the gospel. And so today's passage, what we're seeing in here, it is about getting back to the core identity that we share together. This passage, what we're looking at today, it is about coming together as one united church. And I am talking about us as Grace Baptist Church. I'm talking about the universal church as well, so that we can grow stronger together. Let's pray to that end today. Father, these are sometimes difficult things to talk about because we all struggle in some way, just wanting our rights and our preferences or whatever it is, and we have some of these divisions. It's been in the church since the beginning, and yet it shouldn't be. So Lord, open every one of our hearts. I know you've been doing that in mine already, just to see those ways that we divide ourselves, the ways that we let the enemy pull us away from the battlefield. And God, I would pray that you would draw us together, yes, within our local church here, but also as we run into other Christians, Jesus lovers throughout this community and wherever we might go. Unify us, Lord, to make us stronger so we can fight sin, so we can spread the gospel. And today, Lord, as you speak through your word, God, I pray that your word is taken in, that we are open and receptive to your word, that your Holy Spirit would be transforming and the words would be remembered. Where it's just me speaking or rambling things of myself, anything human, Lord, take those away. But God, may the core of your message remain. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So whether you feel it or not, because sometimes, I mean, feelings are important. God has given us feelings, but sometimes they can kind of skew things. But whether you feel it or not, whether you experience it perfectly or not, Christians are united. We've just got to learn to live that out. 1 Corinthians, I mentioned, we're going to be in chapter 1, wrapping it up here, verses 10 through 17. Verse 10, though, Paul writes, "Now, I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment." Check, right? We've got that down, right? Mm-hmm. Last week, what did we see? We saw that Christians are saints by grace, gifted to endure. that we have one call. The call of the gospel has come to all of us who are Christians. We have one Holy Spirit that indwells every one of us as Christians. We are all given gifts by that same Holy Spirit, all a variety of gifts, but all given gifts to serve the church, to build up the body of Christ. And with that in mind, Paul now moves on to what we're seeing today, and he says that there should be no division among you. Because we have all of these things in common, there shouldn't be any division among you. Anyone ever been a part of a church where there wasn't even the slightest bit of division whatsoever? Probably not, right? If so, you were probably the only one in that church. It was probably called Bedside Baptist. It's not actually a church, just so you know, okay? Listen, there are minor divisions here in our church, in Grace Baptist Church, from time to time. There are sometimes, there are some bigger divisions here. Rarely, though, for even those minor divisions, those minor disagreements, it rarely ever feels minor to the people who are involved, right? Those things can be very difficult for us. But in light of verse 10, how can that possibly be true about every church throughout history? Did Paul, inspired by, driven by, commanded by the Holy Spirit, did he pen these words and not really mean it? I don't think so. And in fact, I know he didn't. I mean, he's not exactly writing here. He's not speaking softly. That word exhort, I mean, that is a powerful word, right? It is a command. It is a strong urging. He's not saying, hey, listen, Corinthian church, brethren, I love you guys, which he does, but I think it'd be nice if maybe you would consider trying to get along, right? That's not what he's writing here. This is a powerful thing. This is a command coming from Christ. And he calls out, though, as he's calling to them, it's his brethren. He loves these people. He's not looking down on them. He's not saying, you people out there, my goodness, you're driving me nuts, right? These are his brothers and sisters in Christ, and he loves them. He's not saying he's above them. He's trying to bring them together. He loves these brethren. They are his fellow saints. We saw that last week. But that's not really easy to do when you feel like you're being attacked by people. Y'all ever been there? That's hard, and that's where Paul is. That's where we're going to see a lot through this letter, that Paul was attacked. He was demeaned by this church at Corinth. Still, he was able to love these people. He was able to see them and love them as family, to look at them that way. I'll tell you, I messed that up within the past week. Nicely, very nicely. I had to apologize for it. I am learning, as a pastor, just as a Christian, I am learning to look at people as brothers and sisters in Christ more and more, and to love them even if we do disagree with something rather sharply, even if I feel like I've been attacked. Sometimes we feel that way even though it's not intended, right? Why? Why do we do this? Why is it so important? It's because of the call to unity, the basis for unity, the source for all unity is from Christ. It's not something that we force. Jesus is the one who's making this exhortation. This is not Paul, right? Paul's just the one who writes it. Jesus exhorts us to get along. So imagine that you and I, we have got some kind of major disagreement, right? And we have just about had it with each other. And I know that's impossible for any of you to think that I could ever be like that with somebody, right? I know. Glad no one's laughing too much there. You've tried, you know, just imagine this, you have tried your best to prove how wrong I am over, you know, whatever preference or minor theology or kind of direction or method or whatever it is that we disagree on, and I just won't listen, right? Of course, sometimes we often think listening means just doing whatever you say, right? But I'm just not listening, it's just not getting through to me, and so I'm probably getting defensive because that's what I do, not that it's a right thing, right? So I've got my three-point defense set out for why I'm right, and that is driving you absolutely crazy, and so we are just absolutely at each other's throats. And by the way, in case you're thinking I am talking about anyone specific, I truly am not. These kinds of things, these kind of disagreements, they happen in every church all the time, between all kinds of people. But getting back into this, right? So we're at each other's throats, and we're starting to question each other's godliness. We're probably starting to question each other's common sense in the midst of all of it. But then, just imagine that Jesus steps in the midst of the whole thing. And he comes in all of his radiant glory. I mean, so radiant, our eyes hurt, and boom, we just hit the ground, face down on the ground, worshiping him in honor of him. And he speaks with his voice of thunder. And he just stares at me and he asks, do you love me? And I do everything I can with my voice muffled by the ground, and I eke out this kind of this, "Yes, Lord." My face buried in the floor, and then he looks at you and he asks you the same question, and you've got the same response with your face buried in the floor. And then he commands with this thundering voice, "Work it out." He says, "I will give you the Holy Spirit, and my Holy Spirit will give you his fruit to live out my character, the character of Christ. And this is an act of grace. I am giving this to you so that you can work this out and be my body. I'm going to give you love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, because it takes every one of those for you guys to possibly work these things out. You're not going to do it on your own. I'm going to give you all of these things if you will simply yield to it so that you can get to what really matters, me." By the way, I'm talking in the Jesus perspective here, right? Not Pastor Ben. Jesus is what matters. But he says, if you love me, fix it. And I myself, I am usually so stinking prideful, I can't do it. It took everything I can. Messing that up this week, it took everything in me to even text out an apology. Because we're so prideful. Believe it or not, I had this whole analogy written before I had the opportunity to go and flop in living it this week. Why is this such a big deal? It's because we're Jesus' body. We represent Jesus Christ. The world looks at us and they see Jesus. They're supposed to. If we can't get along, why on earth would anyone believe in Christ? It doesn't make a difference in our lives. What's the point of them even beginning to believe? Years ago, there was a movie that still, as I was reading this passage, I just started thinking about this movie. It's a movie called Saved. I've never actually seen the movie. It was, you know, the bits I've heard about it and knew what it was about, there was no way I was watching it. But I do remember watching Macaulay Culkin. He was the star in the movie. And it's all pretty much just a commentary and insulting toward the Christian faith and kind of about Christian subculture. And so I'm watching, and Macaulay Culkin is on this kind of late night show. I don't remember which one. And he's just promoting the movie as actors do. And what he's talking about was his research that he did while he was getting ready for the movie. That he went out to different things of the Christian subculture. And so there started to be reports coming out that Macaulay Culkin had been saved. And that was certainly not the case. And so he goes out and he goes to a Christian concert. I think it was a Christian rock concert. And he talks about here, this is, you know, just national late night TV. He's talking about how the one group of Christians is protesting the other group of Christians. And so he's just sitting there mocking. This is confirmed for him that there was nothing to Christ, because he saw people not able to be unified in Christ. Now, this doesn't mean that we have to let go of who we are, right? We have to surrender our ego. That's our problem, right? That we cannot surrender ourselves. We can't surrender our ego enough to get along with other people. And surrendering that ego, again, it's not letting go of who you are. Right, this unity, it's not saying that you conform to be like everybody else. It means embracing who God has made you, which is a member of his body. It doesn't mean that you have to conform. It doesn't mean that you have to be homogenous, right? We don't want a bunch of people that just look the same and act the same all of the time. God created us intentionally with beautiful diversity. And that should be celebrated, as long as it's in line with his design, of course. And those times, man, there are some of us, we've grown up, or just the experiences that we've had in our lives, we look at the gospel, we look at God's word, and there are certain parts of it that just kind of, man, they've had more of an impact on us. We focus on those more than somebody else does. And sometimes when we look at somebody who has a little bit of a different focus, even though it's right, we start to think that, okay, they're leaning too far this way, and that starts disagreements. And it's the same gospel. But if we would take some time to hear other people's views, again, biblical views, we might even be able to have our own sanctification, our growth, aided a little bit. Because as I hear what God has done in your life and why you focus on the gospel and on God's word the way you do, it reveals something to me that I didn't even recognize in the Lord. And so we both get to grow together. It completes our understanding of God a little bit more. And so what we have here from Paul, and really from the Lord, is this: it's an appeal for harmony. It's not pure conformity that we're looking for here, but it's harmony. It's different voices coming together in the same song. We heard that earlier. I think, right? I don't know my musical terms very well. I think that was harmony happening over here. I'm looking at my music, people. You got to give me a yes or no. Thank you, right? Yet somehow this sounds so impossible, doesn't it? Because it's so often we don't really experience this. Are you allowing any divisions between you and any other Christians? Doesn't mean just within our congregation. So we have got to do, we're commanded this in Romans, we have got to do as much as our part to correct that. Because Christians are united in Christ. Verses 11 through 13. For I have been informed concerning you, my brethren, by Chloe's people, that there are quarrels among you. Now I mean this, that each one of you is saying, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Has Christ been divided? Paul was not crucified for you, was he? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Now, I'm just thinking here, how would you like to be Chloe when they open this letter from Paul? Right? You're sitting out here in the congregation, you're waiting, oh, what does our apostle Paul have to say for us? And, you know, because we love Paul if you're in Paul's camp, right? And then he's like, well, hey, Chloe's people are telling me, like, wait, Chloe, what now? Right? She's not excited about this. But thank God for people like her. She saw something wrong in her church, and she was brokenhearted over it. And so she tried to do something. She sought the help of the leader of that church. Now, she's not calling out names. She's not like, let me tell you what Ed's doing over here, right? Ed's in this wrong group over here. None of this kind of stuff, right? She's not calling people out. She's not naming any individuals. She's just saying, in general, there is a situation of division in our church, and we need some help because we're not pulling ourselves out of this. But these aren't just disagreements either, right? It's not just like, some people like this better, some people like this better, but we're doing okay. There are quarrels happening. They are fighting over it. These people are not sitting together in church, right? These different groups are probably like spread out all over the auditorium. So like the Apollos people, they're up in the balcony because, you know, he's the young cool leader, and so that's where they are. Now, Paul's people, they're not going to sit in the balcony because they've seen some of his followers fall off of things, and so they're not going to be up there. Now, Paul, he probably sat forward because he couldn't see very well. They didn't realize that's why he was doing it, so they all just sit forward to be like Paul. And then you got Peter's people, they're in the back, right? So that they can sleep while we're praying. See, that's where Peter's people are going to be. Then you got the whole kind of holier-than-thou Jesus-type people. They're over here in the galleys a little bit so everybody can just see how holy they are. I've just offended everybody in the church, right? I'm not saying that about any of you, okay? I'm just having a little bit of fun. You can ignore my cheesy Bible analogies here. But they're fighting with each other all over these things, and man, they just can't get along. But the reality is that they are divided to the point of fighting. There is animosity between them, and so Chloe, she went and she got help. I am thankful for, you realize there are ministries out there that their whole purpose is to come into churches that are so divided they can't figure it out. They come in and they help just to mediate those kinds of things, to settle those things when they get really bad. I'm thankful for those. The Corinthian church was divided under different leaders. It is possible, if you look at 1 Corinthians 4:6, it is possible that Paul is using these names of Paul and Apollos and Peter and Jesus of just kind of, that they are examples. Maybe they were divided in some other way based on some things he talks about being figurative later. I don't think so. But the real divisions could have been something else, but whatever they are, it doesn't make any difference in how we understand and apply the passage. So all of these guys, these people that they were potentially dividing under, these guys were on the same page. Right, they were on the gospel page. That's what they were trying to do. They weren't fighting each other, even if some of them might have disagreed on some things. It was Paul's followers, a couple named Priscilla and Aquila. They introduced Apollos to the full gospel. Apollos had come into their town, and he had only known the gospel of John. He didn't know about Jesus, and so they filled him in on, this is who John was talking about, this is what Jesus did. He believed that gospel, and he began then to evangelize others with that. That's just two generations away from Paul, right? Paul, Priscilla and Aquila, and then over to Apollos. And so you have this connection with them. These guys respected each other. And yet somehow people were aligning under certain leaders over and above others. They were dividing themselves on that. One of the things that we're going to see throughout this study in the Corinthian letter is that we really aren't that different today. We do a lot of the same things in our churches today. Churches are still struggling with the same kinds of things. Are you Calvinist? I'm not looking for actual answers or hand raising here because I don't want to cause any trouble. Are you Arminian? Are you dispensationalist? Are you just a Christian? Some of those names, as I call them out, do some of those names make you cringe? How do you feel about people that follow those other systems of theology? Is it possible that they are Christian? Do you have to believe all five points of whatever your system is? Because more than one of those systems has their 5 points, right? Do you have to believe all 5 points to be saved? There are churches that are splitting over these things all the time. The world loves it. Our enemy loves it. Because we are focusing on these points rather than on taking the gospel to the world. Rather than just focusing on Jesus who has saved us. But it's not just our systematic theologies that divide us, is it? Sometimes we divide very much like the Corinthian church did. We argue over kind of the celebrity pastor that we follow the most, right? Okay, are you a Rick Warren person or a John MacArthur person? I don't want answers, right? You John Piper or Andy Stanley? Which one are you with? David Platt or Louis Giglio? I'm not saying that these guys all disagree with each other either. What do you think about people who lean more toward one of the other guys than yours? That they lean toward somebody that you don't prefer? Sometimes we divide over leaders even within our local churches. That happens. Do you follow Pastor Ben? Do you follow Pastor Kelly? Do you follow Pastor David? Following Pastor Steve? I'd love to follow him. He's in Italy right now. That'd be great, right? It's amazing how we are oddly drawn to this loyalty to something. It's a form of worship. You realize we do this kind of loyalty. It's this crazy thing. We get loyal to products, like material things. I am about to split the church right now. Get ready for this. Coke or Pepsi? I don't want answers. You're going to divide us. You're wrong. You're going to divide us. Mac or PC? We get so focused on these things. I don't even know what I heard over there. Linux or something. I don't know. If we're not careful, these products, these people, these systems, they become idols that are capable of dividing us. Those are things that happen within our hearts. They can divide churches. We look at these people, like sometimes we look at maybe these particular leaders and like we have these blinders on. And then on top of those blinders, we kind of have this filter. That the only thing that we see from people in another category or a leader that we don't like or don't trust is exactly what we want to see. And we gather people around us who feel the same way so we can go and talk about that and just build that up in our minds, right? It happens all of the time. All that we see is kind of what we want to see, whatever builds what we thought we already believed. And then whenever they say anything that seems a little bit off, we take it and blow it out of context. So we're looking for anything to prove our point, and then we pounce on it. That's probably happened in this past couple of weeks, too. Andy Stanley's been back in the news, right? If y'all are following any of that, he made a comment about the Christian church needing to unhitch their theology from the Old Testament. And we all go, ooh. There are systematic theologies that say the same thing, by the way. And I'm not saying whether he's right or not or anything like that, but have any of us possibly condemned him for his statements without actually looking at the context or what he was really trying to say? I haven't looked in enough detail to know. And again, I'm not saying that his comments were right, but did you check out the context or did you just automatically put on another checkbox and reasons to hate Andy Stanley? If your favorite guy, your favorite church leader were to say the exact same thing, I'd bet you'd give him a chance. That you'd fall right in line with it and go look for reasons for him to be right. Again, I'm not trying to defend any one person at all. I'm just trying to point out some of those things that we tend to do in our hearts sometimes that end up dividing us. I remember having a student, when I think I've told you about this before, when I started my church back in Marietta, I was doing youth ministry there, and really one of my first days was heading out to Detroit on a mission trip. And so I get on the bus, I'm going by, I'm just kind of introducing myself to all of the students, and this girl toward the back, kind of as I get to her row, she says, I'm not going to talk to you. Like, this is the last time I'm talking to you because you are not Trey. Trey was the previous youth pastor. He was still working at our church. Trey and I are still good friends. He did phenomenal ministry there. I enjoyed working with him. We saw pretty much everything the same. And yet she said, I'm not talking to you. Simply because I wasn't him. I was not given a chance. And let me tell you, she did not talk to me at all for at least 30 more seconds. And then she just never stopped the whole time, right? It's amazing how we can align and have this loyalty to people that no one's ever asked for. Listen, no matter who baptized you, no matter what book has been written that changed your life, or what sermon it was that you heard that changed everything for you, your salvation is not in whoever wrote that or whoever spoke that. Your salvation is in Jesus Christ. You were sanctified not by a book. You were sanctified by the Holy Spirit. You were not sanctified by my preaching. You were sanctified by the Holy Spirit. A lot of those leaders that we talk about, that we think of them being so different, a lot of them realize that they really are generally on the same page. And they would tell you that they value the contributions of those guys with whom they disagree some. As far as I know, all of the pastors here, we are on the same page, and we have the same goals, and we value the body of work done by each other one here. I don't know of any divisions between us either. But different people bring different personality, a different emphasis. There are things in the gospel that just call to them more, and so they focus more on that than others. And so that's going to appeal to different people in different ways. And the church is richer for that diversity, as long as we're not talking about heresy. So what are those heart idols that you are, that maybe are at risk of interfering with your unity with other Christians? Those things have got to be eradicated, because Christians are united in Jesus with the same baptism. Let's wrap up the chapter here in verses 14 through 17. I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one would say you were baptized in my name. Now, I did baptize also the household of Stephanus, but beyond that, I don't know whether I baptized any other. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, so that the cross of Christ would not be made void. The main issue of division within the Corinthian church was one of identity. Who did people identify with? What leader did they identify with? Baptism. It is a means of public identity. Y'all remember what it says on our baptism shirts? It was up there last week. Ask for my ID. What is my identity? And on the back, I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives through me. It's our identity is in Christ. It shows, baptism shows the death with Christ of our old self and the resurrection with Christ of our new self. We are commanded by Jesus to practice this. The early church, from the earliest days, they practiced believers' baptism. And so if you haven't taken that step of obedience, if you haven't confirmed that identity yet, let's talk about that like right after the service. But listen, there is something sweet to it, though, that there's this sweet kind of connection for people that I baptized to be able to just look and say, I had the honor of baptizing that person. There is a great connection that goes there. And I think that's why Paul mentions those that he did baptize, but it wasn't the most important thing to him. He left baptism typically to the churches to handle the baptisms. You realize Jesus, he was at some points criticized because his disciples were doing more baptizing than he was. But it was all in the name of Christ. Paul said, though, that he would rather not baptize anyone if somehow those people would think that they had been baptized into his clan. People sometimes talk about being baptized into a particular denomination or a particular church. No, that is not the case. You're not baptized Baptist. You get that? You're baptized into Jesus Christ. That's who we are identifying with in baptism. Jesus binds us together. At the end of this letter, Paul says that anyone who doesn't love Jesus, he's not just saying, oh, you know, that somebody says it, but anyone who doesn't truly love Jesus, he says, let them be accursed. It's not right for us to associate with heretical groups and false teachers and false religions, right? We don't go and say, oh, let's just be one, even though you're preaching things against the gospel. We don't do that. But with those who love Christ, those who are following his gospel, we are one with them. Jesus unites us. And as one, we have different gifts, but we all have the same purpose. And that purpose is God's glory. We work with those gifts and with the beautiful diversity that God has given us to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ for the glory of God. Paul was an evangelist. Apollos seems like he was more of a disciple or a mentor type, wanted to help grow. Peter, probably more of a leading type, but they were all equal. And the power, it wasn't theirs. That is the power of the gospel, is the power of the Holy Spirit that is working through them. Sometimes we get drawn in by somebody who's just a wonderful speaker, and so we then start to align with them. That's how we get under some of these celebrity pastors. And my goodness, praise God for the gifts of those men. Praise God for the gifts of some of those women. But Paul didn't come as a polished speaker himself, right? He wasn't necessarily the best speaker. He was a wonderful writer. I think there are some out there today that are kind of like that. Like, if I'm going to read a book, I'd prefer to read like a David Platt book. But if I'm going to, you know, listen to somebody speak, I'm more of a Matt Chandler kind of guy. You know, those are their gifts. And they may, maybe you're weaker in the other way. That's kind of where Paul is. But no matter what, Paul used God's words, or Paul, God used Paul's words. Myself, I am never going to be some kind of great orator that people follow. But I just pray that I will clearly bring the truth to transform people by the Holy Spirit. Because it's not about me making a name for myself in any way. And I'm not saying that it was about making a name for those people who are kind of a household name. I don't think it is at all. It's about pointing to the cross. It's about pointing to Jesus. And if we take our focus off of the cross and we put it on groups or we put it on our theological differences, then we empty the cross of its power. We are to boast only in the cross. Now, today, it's possible, or sometime this week, it could be a very big day, a good, or kind of a big week for Grace Baptist Church. Our deacons may be voting on whether or not to bring in Austin and bring his fiance in here to lead our teens, to be a part of our body here. And then they've got to make a decision on whether they want to do that as well. David and the Prairie family, although not all of the Prairie family has been here as long, they have been on staff here for, what is it, 8 years now? We've gotten longer, but from seven. Okay, I thought maybe I wasn't adding enough years on there. Maybe I added too many. But he's been a part of this church his whole life, pretty much. He's going to continue to be a part of this church, just living a little bit further down the road and across the ocean, right? David, God has used him in so many wonderful ways in this congregation. The Holy Spirit has done great things through him, but it's the Holy Spirit. It's not David. Now, David's, I don't think, taking this very negatively, right? I think he's totally with me on this. Whatever the Lord may have used me for here, it's been all the Lord. It's not me. And so the Lord will continue that in Austin or whoever may come in here, because the Holy Spirit just does that. It's not any pastor. It's not any teacher who does a great work in you. It is people that the Holy Spirit is using. It is the Holy Spirit. And if we remember that this is God's work, we will glorify him as one. Where are you tempted to look for identity other than Christ? We look for it all the way, all over the place. We've talked about baptism today and that means of identifying with Christ, but the other ordinance of the church is the Lord's table, communion, we have set out in front of us now. It is intended to remind us of Jesus' sacrifice for our life and our unity, our oneness together. And so there really isn't a better response to talking about unity in Christ than to take the Lord's table together. Paul is going to address that later in chapter 11 because it is a vital part of church life to be taken very seriously. And so I want to go ahead and invite the deacons up as we get ready to engage in this. But I want us to think about what Paul has to say later in this book. In 1 Corinthians 11, 28 and 29, he says, "But a man must examine himself. And in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly." Are you coming to the Lord's table in a worthy manner? When Paul writes that in 1 Corinthians 11, just like he is through so much of this book, he is talking about the unity of the church. That the church being unified, being one together, that is a worthiness that's there. And so my challenge to you is that even before we take this today is to examine yourself. Are there any ways that you are not at peace with others? You gentlemen can go ahead and have a seat if you'd like. Are there ways that you are not at peace with others, or maybe that you are not treating others within this church or wherever as you should? And my challenge to you is to go and to make it right before you would take these elements. To praise God for our single identity in Christ, let us remember who we are, who Christ has made us. We want to do that responsibly, has become our tradition. So I'm going to ask you some questions. Your answers will be on the screen to make it easy. And I would ask that you all just respond aloud. As Grace Baptist Church, who are we? What do we do? Gather, grow, and go. How do we do it? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Why do we do this? To glorify God. Now, this meal that we're about to take, this is only for believers, and that is not because we want to be mean. It's not because we want to be exclusive. In fact, we want to be very inclusive. You know, it's just that we are remembering what Jesus has done for us. And so, if you haven't trusted in Jesus Christ for salvation, this meal does not apply to you yet. But in the moments before we pass, you can come and talk to me, talk to one of the others sitting around you, and you can make that right. And this can be the time that you trust in Jesus, that you follow him for salvation. You can partake and be one with the body of Christ. There's no need to wait for that. Even as the men are passing the elements, you can come. We come then to 1 Corinthians 11, and we see how Paul shares the Lord's table in that passage. And he says in there in verse 23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it." That's John to pray over the bread.
Dear Heavenly Father, help us to think about what this means. Help us to focus on the bread. Help us to focus on you, to remember what you did for us, to keep that in the forefront of our mind. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." So if you would ask a blessing.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the shed blood of Jesus Christ. May we focus on that as we take this element this morning, what it means to each of us. May it motivate us to share that precious truth with others who do not know you. We also thank you for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the new life that we have in him. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. One way the church has come together since the very beginning of the church, I'm not talking just about Grace Baptist Church, although that's been for us that way, is to care for those within our congregation and then our community that are in need. And so, as has generally been our tradition here, on the way out, we're going to have ushers at the door for our benevolence offering. And so anything that is given there on the way out that is not otherwise designated will go into our benevolence ministry so we can care well for one another. Before we go, though, I want to invite David on down. He's got some people that he wants to bring up here that I think need some recognition as well. Let me hand this to you.
Thank you, Pastor Ben. Good morning. I'm very happy to recognize a couple of different groups over which we would ask you to pray this morning. So I'll first ask for our recent graduates for this past school year to join me so that I can hand to you a card that is from our staff and from our deacons, and I won't ask them to introduce themselves, but I will call their names out and then also the school from which they are graduating. We have a number of students from who are high school graduates, and then we have a handful of college graduates from our congregation as well. I think only one of them is with us today, so we'll recognize him. So I'm going to call them in the order that I have them here in front of me. Grace Morgan from Grace Baptist Academy. Belle Lockridge from Grace Academy. Caitlin Thompson, who was homeschooled, but you said you were was through Aaron Academy. Congratulations. Luke Holcomb from Grace Academy. Gavin Creed, another homeschool student. Let's see who I'm overlooking here. Kristen Lawrence from Grace Academy. Audrey Pennington from Grace Academy. And the one college graduate behind me here today is Mr. Aaron Arnold from Tennessee Tech University.
Now, there are other grad. Look at you, put it there where I can get to it easily. This is good, because there is another graduate on stage, and so we want to recognize Dr. David Prairie. There you go.
Would you pray with me over these folks? Father, we are grateful for the accomplishments of the folks behind us, and we are glad for the gifts that you have bestowed upon them and for the way that they've stewarded them. We ask that you'll multiply their gifts as they invest them for you. We pray that you'll give them wisdom and direction and guidance and counsel according to your word going forward. Help them to be involved in churches that prioritize the making of disciples and the preaching of the gospel to those who don't yet know it. May they serve you throughout their lives. May you grant them success, not simply in the eyes of the world, but ultimately may they prove to be faithful in all things towards you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now, there is still another group that we want to recognize, which includes a whole bunch of you, I think. But we've got our Alaska mission team. If you guys, anyone heading to Alaska this week, if you guys want to come on up, and we want to be able to pray over you guys. Is that all of you? Yeah, I'm kicking you off if you're not going. Sorry. But I want to pray for some of you guys going to D.C. as well soon. So, yeah. Sorry for awkward moments. All right. So, I actually kind of enjoy them. So, yeah, we got our team going. I don't even know what annual team this will be. How many is this? Do we know?
This will be my eighth trip.
Eighth trip to Alaska. All right. So, very good. I have no place to stand without just standing directly in front of you, so I'll just do that, okay? They're going to be heading out this week for Alaska and doing a lot of wonderful ministry up there, and so we just want to be remembering them, not just today. This is for all of us to continue praying for them as they go and do the Lord's work up in the northern countries. Let's pray. Father, I am so thankful for this team standing behind me here, and Lord, as they stand behind me, Lord, this whole church stands behind them, excited that they get to go and spread your gospel and serve according to your gospel in Alaska, but also in all of the airports and ways that they'll be throughout this trip. So Lord, bless them. Give them great opportunities for your gospel truth. God, give them boldness and faithfulness, and God, help them to serve with great love all of your people. And Lord, may your Holy Spirit bring incredible fruit. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you all. And then Fred, we'll bring you back up to wrap. I thought so. Okay. So anyway, you guys can hang out or stand there. I'm just going to have all kinds of fun here. But anyway, a couple things to remember. We're going to let Austin, if you want to hang out in here, let people come and chat with you for a few minutes. Don't keep him forever. He's got to get down to the airport. And then we're going to have pizza back in the fellowship hall because it's a youth thing. You got to have pizza to get feedback from anybody. So come on back there, share with me, with the deacons, staff team, personnel team, all of those folks in there. All right. And so Grace. absolutely as one joined in Christ, it is time to go.